So in 2018, Malcolm, a man called Malcolm, and his partner Francine were on holiday when they got a call from the Hemsby lifeboat crew to tell them that their house was about to disappear into the sea. Malcolm and his partner Francine had bought their seaside home just 3 years prior to the phone call, but coastal erosion had slowly chipped away at the dunes surrounding the house, and now the house was on the edge of the cliff and about to disappear into the sea. The coastal team were able to rescue a few heirlooms, but ultimately the house went kaput into the waters. And due to a loophole in the insurance always has a loophole, they didn't get any payout, lost all their savings, including the house, and now they're back in rental accommodation. Well, like Malcolm and Francine's home in Hemsby, the Christian walk and the Christian faith rises and falls on whether Jesus Christ really did rise from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to the Christian faith. Why? Why is this the foundational stone for Christians and for all people? Because if Jesus Christ has not risen from the grave, then our faith is a complete and utter hoax. It's a fake, isn't it? It's not real. That means that there is no God. There is no point to life. There's definitely no point in us meeting here this morning and singing some songs to a dead guy who's not actually alive. There's no reason to pray. We are still in our sins. And you know what? You shouldn't be in here this morning. You should be out there eating and drinking and being merry, because tomorrow we die. What's the point in worshiping? What's the point in going to church? What's the point of any of it all? What's that, buddy? There's no point, exactly. There's no point whatsoever. In fact, this community, which they probably already do, they should feel sorry for us worshiping this person who's dead and is not alive. If Jesus has not risen from the grave, we have nothing to celebrate here this morning. We are still in our sins. However, this historically reliable and trustworthy account this morning reminds us the tomb really was empty. Amen? The tomb really was empty. And Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. And that fact confirms that Jesus is the Son of God, that there is everlasting life, that there is hope, and that the Bible is true. The resurrection shows us that death has been smashed to smithereens. Death is defeated, and our souls will not be abandoned to Sheol, as David wrote 3,000 odd years ago. It means that Jesus Christ this morning has the keys to death and to Hades, the keys to heaven and hell. And so this morning, I want us to understand that the foundations for the Christian life are rock solid, that Jesus Christ conquered death, and therefore we can be full of joy this morning, no matter what's going on in our lives, whether it's good or it's bad, because there's joy to be had in Jesus. So three things this morning, 3 points. Why break anything at Easter? First point is the evidence of the resurrection. Second point is the power of the resurrection. And the third point is the resurrection that changes lives. Okay? So the first thing is the evidence of the resurrection, okay? Don't know why Linda has this, or she told me about it. It's for jewelry making. I got this off Linda. A nice detective's glass here. So if you're in the congregation, I don't know how you're going to do this, but maybe you can hold out your little magnifying glass. We're detectives, okay? Yeah, like that. It's probably better. We're detectives, okay? What is the evidence for the resurrection? Now, a lot of people, when they think of the Christian faith, simply dismiss it out of hand because they think it's unbelievable. Or other people dismiss it out of hand, but they've never actually read a Bible. The amount of people I've met in Nidri who said, oh, you can't believe all that old rubbish from 2,000 years ago. There's lots of contradictions in the Bible. And then I ask them, have you ever read a Bible? And do you know what they say? No, I've never ever picked up a Bible. And so I say to them, go and do it. You need to go and read the Bible yourself. But people say, someone rising from the dead, that is unbelievable. It's impossible. Prove it to me. Well, there was very, very strong evidence in the Gospels for the resurrection. The Christian faith is not a blind faith. It can be put to the test. And we see it in our passage. Let me give you two bits of evidence this morning to go away and think about for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Firstly, notice who are the first eyewitnesses to the tomb being empty. Who are the first eyewitnesses to the tomb being empty? Mary Magdalene and Mary and Joanna. So three ladies, okay? Not men. Ladies, okay? Women. They were the first ones to discover that the tomb is empty. Now, why is that evidence for the resurrection being true? Well, women in the Old Testament times and in the time when the resurrection happened were seen, I'm sorry, ladies, but you were seen as second-class citizens. Men used to pray, thank God I'm not a Gentile, a murderer, or a woman. That's what people used to pray. If you were a lady, you were very, very low status. You had no rights, and your testimony was never trusted in court. And think about who Mary Magdalene is. Mary Magdalene was a woman who was full of demons. And then Jesus exorcised those demons out of her. This is how one historian said, commenting about this passage, about the resurrection. He said, how can anyone take seriously the testimony of these hysterical women? In other words, how can anyone believe this account when it's based on the rantings of some lunatic women? Now, how does that help us trust this record? Well, these details show us that this is a real historical account of what happened. If the gospel writers wanted to make up a story, do you know what they would have done? They would have said 10 men came to the tomb and found it empty. Because 10 men was what you needed to have a credible account or witness statement in court. They would have changed the details to make it more credible, to zhuzh it up a little bit. Not a couple of ladies, one who's basically an ex-mental patient and a pal from next door. That's because this is a real historical account of what happened. These ladies really went to the tomb, and when they went to the tomb, it was empty. And then they met the risen Jesus Christ from the dead. That's one bit of evidence. You go away and discuss that. Google it later. Historians agree on that. Okay? The second bit of evidence is the empty tomb itself. The tomb was empty. They could not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple of theories out there, aren't there? Some people will say this. Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He was on the cross, but they took him off while he was kind of unconscious. They put him in a grave, and then 3 days later after the coma, he managed to stagger his way out of the tomb. But that's just not possible. Why is that not possible? Because the Romans were trained at killing people. They knew how to put someone away, and they knew how to check if someone was dead. They weren't stupid. They would not have taken him down from the cross unless he was really dead. Okay? And anyway, his body would have been so disfigured, they would have looked like a zombie if that actually had happened. It's just not possible. Other people say this. They say the disciples must have stolen the body from the tomb. That's the other theory. And then they made up a story that Jesus rose from the grave. That this is all just made up stories from some cavemen from 2,000 years ago. But again, that's just not possible. Why? Because these disciples were a scared mess when Jesus was crucified. All the disciples had run away. It was only the ladies that stood by him. The men had gone. They'd run away. Peter didn't even have the bottle to stand up to a little slave girl and say that he was a follower of Jesus while Jesus was being tried and while he was at court. In fact, even when the disciple, even when the ladies go back from the empty tomb and they go to the disciples and tell him and tell them that the grave is empty, do you know what the disciples' reaction was? It was, "That's not true. That's not possible, ladies. That can't be." These men were depressed. They were scared. They were anxious. There's no way that they would make up a story that Jesus had risen from the grave and then go out and preach it. There's no way. There's no way that they stole that body. So there's only one explanation for it. The disciples really saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead. They really saw him. And do you know how we can tell that it's true? Because they went from scared men to courageous men, to depressed men, from depressed men to joyous men, to men who are out of their minds with grief, to unbelievable joy that they preached to the nations. And you know what? They were willing to lay down their life for this man who said that he had risen from the grave. These disciples didn't make any money from it. They made nothing. They had nothing to gain from preaching that Jesus died and rose again. All they got was ostracization, persecution, and each one of them faced a barbaric death. If they didn't have enough courage to stick with Jesus when he was alive the first time, how did they get courage when he was in the grave? Only one explanation. They also saw that the grave was empty, and they also met Jesus risen from the grave. Sherlock Holmes says this: "When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth." When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. We've eliminated the impossible. No one stole the body. No one stole it. He didn't get off unconsciously off the cross and walk out of the tomb. The only explanation is that Jesus really did die. He was placed in a tomb, and he was risen from the grave 3 days later, conquering sin and Satan and death. The evidence is there. As Christians, the evidence is with us. Non-Christians have to prove that it's a hoax, not the other way around. The empty tomb, over 500 witnesses, the existence of the church, the worship of Jesus Christ across the ages. Jesus did die. He was placed in the tomb. The disciples were a mess. There's only one reason why they were changed. The stone was rolled away. Amen? So if you're not a Christian today, here's my challenge to you. Go and look at the evidence. Go and look at the evidence. It's provable that Jesus really did rise from the grave. The tomb is empty. So that's your evidence. It's a massive thing. I don't know how it works, Linda, but it's pretty cool. Okay, second thing, the resurrection shows us the power that's in the gospel. And for this, you're going to have to do flex your muscles. I've been working out. Can you tell? There you go. Thanks. Flex your muscles. So it's the day after Sabbath. Two Marys go to the tomb to pay their respect. When they get there, they find the tomb is empty and the body of Jesus Christ is missing. And they're confused. They can't get their heads around it. And then Luke tells us a couple of angels suddenly appear before these ladies. In Matthew's gospel, he tells us that the guards fell over as if they were dead. And these startled ladies are faced with these glorious angelic beings. Now, these are miraculous and supernatural events. Amazing things are happening before these ladies' eyes. Earthquakes and angels and soldiers falling as if they are almost dead. However, that is nothing compared to what the angel says. Listen to what the angel says. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again." I love this line. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Forget angels. Forget earthquakes. Forget the guards dropping to the floor as if dead. The power in that statement is unmatched in the universe. A man who was dead is now alive. A man who was in the grave is now walking around before them. A man who was dead and killed and had his heart stopped is back from the dead with blood pumping through his veins again. What does that mean? It means that death has been defeated. It means that death has been reversed. Our greatest enemy in the world, or our greatest enemies in the world, are sin and death. You know, when Adam sinned in the first garden, the whole of humanity sinned with him, and death was brought into the world. The world was corrupted. The world went from this perfect, amazing place to a place that was shattered into a million pieces. You ever dropped a mirror before? Or a glass? What happens to it? Smashes. Smashes into little bits. Smashes into little bits. That's what happened to the world at the beginning. It was good. It was perfect. When Adam and Eve sinned, it smashed into a million little pieces. But then Jesus came into the world as the second Adam. He lived the perfect life. He died the perfect death. And he rose triumphantly 3 days later from the grave. And when he did that, he reversed the effects of the fall. Why? Because his resurrection from the grave guarantees our resurrection from the grave. The fact that he rose from the grave means that anyone who believes in him will also rise one day from the grave. John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." That's the most amazing promise. He's saying when our bodies go kaput, those whose souls are united to Jesus Christ go on forever in life with him eternal. Billy Graham once said, "One day you'll hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't you believe it? On that day, I'll be more alive than ever before." I've just changed postcode address. All those who die believing in Christ go to be with the Lord, awaiting the day when the final judgment comes, and their souls are united with their resurrected bodies, alive ever forevermore. When you die physically, your body might go, but spiritually, if you're in Christ, you are more alive than ever. That's the power of the resurrection. One day, you'll get a renewed body in a renewed world. In this world, our bodies die, they get sick, we mourn, we struggle, we grieve, have mental health issues. In the world to come, we won't die. We will never, ever get sick. In this world, we glimpse the glory of Jesus Christ. In the new world, we'll see Jesus Christ face to face. You know, sometimes we can despair, can't we? We can despair in this world that we live in. Life can seem so bleak. The struggles of our life seem to just mount up, don't they? On top of each other. There's so much darkness around us. There's so much darkness in us. Particularly feel for the generation two below me, and the teens today. So much depression, so much hopelessness, so much anxiety, so much fear about the future. But the resurrection offers that hope. The resurrection offers that light in the darkness. The resurrection means there's strength for today and there's bright hope for tomorrow. The empty tomb means there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but it won't be forever. Because one day we'll be with our Savior face to face. It means that death has been defeated. It means there is a future happy ending. It means that death literally has been reversed and has been overturned. And it means, as we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If Christ is in the grave, that hope is not there. But because Christ has risen from the grave, there is hope for today and hope for tomorrow. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. You come into this building, you're not saved. You're so welcome here. But again, examine the evidence and know that there's hope for your life in Jesus Christ. Maybe the darkness is overwhelming you at the moment. You can't see any way out from your troubles and your struggles and your addictions and your battles and everything else that's going on in your life right now. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ and find hope in his death and resurrection. It'll be the hardest thing you ever have to do, but the most joyous thing you can ever do. Finally, and briefly, the change that the resurrection makes. For this, you're going to have to stand up with me if you're able. If you're not, don't worry. Only if you're able. And you're going to all face that way. And then we're all going to turn this way. There you go. That's it. And you can sit down. It's just to keep you alive. Keep the blood circulating. The change that the resurrection makes to our lives. Notice just two things briefly as we end. One, the women, when they see the empty tomb, they go and tell the disciples what they've seen and what they've heard. They're the first evangelists. They go and tell the disciples the good news that Jesus is not there, but that he's risen from the grave. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. When we believe, we tell others what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have experienced, and we share that glorious message that Jesus died and rose again. We don't keep that to ourselves. It's the best news in town, isn't it? No, we go out from this building and we shout in the highways and byways, Jesus is alive. There is hope in the midst of the struggles and battles. Thank you, Asher. You go and share the good news of the gospel. That's the change that Jesus makes. Well, just notice Peter as well, the second thing. Just notice Peter here. When the ladies tell the disciples about what the angel told them, the disciples are scratching their heads, they're confused. These guys think the ladies have made it all up. But notice that Peter runs to the tomb, he looks in, and he marvels. He wants to investigate. And we don't know exactly what he's thinking, but he's probably thinking along the lines of, could this be true? Could this Savior that I've been following for the last 3 years, who I put my faith in or just saw died, could it be that he's alive? Could it be that what he told us about him rising from the grave really is true? And if it really is true, is there a second chance for someone like me? Remember, Peter just a few hours before had denied his Savior terribly. 3 times. He'd said, I don't know that man. I don't know Jesus. And then Jesus looked at him and he ran away weeping because he knew he'd messed up. And so he's probably thinking, could I be restored? Can I be forgiven? Can I have that second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance? Maybe you have some of those questions like Peter this morning. Maybe you think, could this Jesus thing really be true? Or maybe you're thinking this morning, I'm like Peter. Could there be a second chance for me? Could there be a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, a seventh chance, an eighth chance? Maybe you think it's too late. I've blown it too many times. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us this. Jesus really is the Son of God. The Bible really is true. And that means it's not too late. It's not too late. It means there is that second chance. There is that third chance. There is that fourth chance. It means there is forgiveness of sins. And it means there is life, life everlasting. How do I know? If you go a few verses forward in verse 36, when Jesus comes before the disciples, he says to them, peace to you. He has his arms stretched out, the scars still there. He says, peace, peace to you. He doesn't scold them for abandoning him. He doesn't call them little cowards. You little cowards who ran away from me. You little bottle jobs. Doesn't say you losers. Doesn't say you idiots. Doesn't say you rat bags. He doesn't say you little scum sinners. Doesn't say those things. He says peace. Peace to you. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his death and resurrection. These guys abandoned Jesus in his time of need. They were weak, they were fragile, they sinned, and yet he says, peace. In other words, sins forgiven, guilt covered, shame gone, relationship restored. Why? Not because of anything they had done, not because of their good works. They'd done no good works, but because of Jesus Christ, because of his death and his resurrection from the grave. That's why they could have forgiveness. That's why they could have everlasting life. It was nothing to do with them. It was all to do with Jesus Christ, risen from the grave. And that's the same for anyone this morning. Anyone, whoever you are, however you've come into this building, anyone, if you can trust in Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, if you repent of your sins, you can have sins forgiven. Guilt and shame covered. Wrath of God averted, and glorious, glorious, glorious life to come. Amen.